Yesterday, I'm honored to be joined by CNN Philippines anchor, basketball coach, Charles Su. Charles, what's going on?
Hey, not much, John. What's up? How you doing? Thanks for having me on your show.
No problem, man. No problem. Rich for joining me. Everything's good, man. The season's winding down. We in store for a chaotic finish. I cannot wait. The play-in is being formed. I mean, shaped up. I mean, it's going to have some good, interesting matchups the rest of the way of the season. And every game counts because it's like six games left on everybody's schedule.
Yeah, it's a crazy season. I mean, this has been really, really fun to watch. I mean, anything can happen. So it's really exciting.
Definitely. As I said, welcome. You work for a great network. Tell us about your time at CNN. How's that experience been for you?
Well, it's been great, to be honest. I used to come on to, well, right now, the sports part, we kind of stopped for a bit because, well, there hasn't been much sports, especially out here in the Philippines, right? But I started out there as being their analyst for basketball, whether it be Philippine basketball, NBA, or pretty much any basketball. And then a spot opened up, and they asked me to anchor the show, and it's pretty cool. I've had quite a few guests, I mean, even NBA people, Monte Morris, Bruce Bowen came onto the show.
Wow.
I brought Lamar Odom once, Andre Bass, all these dudes. So they end up playing for me here too. So it was pretty cool. But yeah, it's a fun experience. I get to talk about a lot of sports, not just basketball. But obviously, I'm a basketball guy, so I really love that part of the job.
Right. That's one thing I love about hosting. You get to know the person behind the basketball player. Like why they joined the NBA, things they love doing. I love networking, get to knowing people. What do you like most about hosting?
What I love most about it?
Yeah, about hosting the show you do.
Yeah. Yeah, like what you said, I mean, just a chance to get to tell people's story. I mean, obviously, when you read a lot about the athletes or the people that we talk about, people always put them on a pedestal, and you know, they see them in a different light. But when you get to talk to them face to face, you see, hey, they're just ordinary people too. And, you know, you get to ask them certain things that not a lot of people will ask them. You get to hear maybe a different story that they haven't shared, and it's just nice. I mean, I love sharing the story and sharing or picking the brains of the people we talk to, just to impart wisdom to the people who watch and who love the sport.
Right. If obviously you love the game of basketball as I do, you love it a lot more than me. You're also a basketball coach. Tell us about that and what you like most about being a basketball coach.
Well, I love competing, man. I mean, if I were any good as a player, I'd probably still be playing, but that didn't really happen. I started out as an assistant coach of the national team here in the Philippines. I mean, 10 years ago. I probably was one of the youngest coaches that in history in this country as an assistant, so that was pretty cool.
Right.
It just grew, and eventually I worked as an assistant in the pro leagues here, and I had my own team, and lately I've been coaching a team called Mighty Sports, where we like joining international tournaments, so that's where I actually got the chance to coach a lot of former NBA guys. I brought in, I don't know if you know, Al Thornton.
Yes. Right.
Al played for me. I mean, we brought in Lamar Odom. He played his comeback, his very first basketball gig after everything that happened to him. So that's pretty cool. I mean, he obviously is a different player, but still, just to have that experience was cool. I brought in Hashim Tabith, actually played for us for once. I mean, we mostly join short tournaments now, so I just get a chance to bring in different imports. Obviously, Andre Blas is now a naturalized Filipino, so he played for us out here too, and Ronaldo Bachman, the guy. I don't know if you're familiar with Bachman, but he played in the league for a bit too. I've coached him a few times too. So yeah, I love coaching because I like competing. I like teaching guys and just, you know, putting teams together. And I love the relationships when you join tournaments. I mean, that's the bonding. You get to know different players, different people. I mean, that's really what's most fun for me.
Okay. This NBA season, as we alluded to earlier, is shaping up for a great finish. Are there any surprise teams that took you by surprise this NBA season? I think the one team that I'm surprised by one team I'm surprised by is I can't say the Nets. Honestly, I can say the Nets because they've been out there. They've been without their complete big three for like all of this season. They played maybe 7-8 games together completely, but they maintained the top three seed in the East. And James Harden on his way back. Harden can come back for I'd say two of the most important rounds, the conference finals, the finals, and he's healthy. I think the Nets are going to be the team to beat regardless who they play coming out of the West.
I think so. I agree with you there. If he can come back by the second round, because they're going to play the Bucks.
Right.
If he's not there, the last two games we saw, it's going to be a problem for the Nets. But you're
yeah.
right. I mean, they did a great job getting all these players. I think if you ask me, the surprises in the East, to be honest, would be the Knicks. Like, who would have thought they'd be playoffs?
Yes.
Julius Randle's just had an amazing season, but man, I never would have thought they'd be in the playoffs, so they're doing great. And then maybe the Celtics surprised in a different way. I thought they'd probably be a bit better than where they're at right now. I mean, I know they've faced a lot of injuries, and Kemba hasn't been healthy, and it's been tough, but I mean, they have two all-stars still in Tatum and Brown. I thought they'd do a bit better, but hey, they're still in the playoff picture, so it is what it is. And the West, I think, I'd say that the Suns actually surprised me. I knew they'd be a playoff team, but I didn't think they'd be this good. It's number two in the West right now, a game behind the Jazz, but after a tough loss to them, they're a big surprise to me. How about you? What's the surprise in the West?
One surprise was the Nets. Another team, as you just alluded to, are the Suns, because Chris Paul, CP3, veteran experience is going to be very important when the playoffs start because they're going to have some tough stretches, and this veteran presence is going to help them a whole lot. One other team is my Denver. Everyone knows me. I like the Denver Nuggets. I mean, the Murray injury was huge and very impactful, but Nikola Jokic, he's very at the top of the MVP conversation. And with Murray out, and he leads them, they're both more than likely locked into the three or the four seed. I think he's going to come in with the MVP.
Yeah, I think so, too. He's been great. I'm a big Jokic fan. I got to meet him and chat with him a bit in the last World Cup that they had in China. That was time flies, 2019. Such a nice guy. And then I'm also a big fan of Campazzo. I mean, undersized.
Yes.
So for us, he's like, man, we're small. But you see this dude, he's killing to be. And he doesn't back down from nobody. So it's like, that's impressive. So I'm a big fan of his game.
Definitely. Another player who stepped up for Denver is Michael Porter Jr. I think he's averaged being 22 since Murray went down. If he keeps that up, and they got from the Knicks. They picked up the player from the Knicks. I'm sorry.
Austin Rivers.
Austin Rivers. They're going to be still dangerous coming out of the West. They're going to be a tough out. And they possibly can win the West depending on the matchups because these seedings will be very important.
I agree. I think if you're the Nuggets, you're hoping you play the Mavs and not the Lakers. I don't think anybody wants to play the Lakers in the first round. But
right.
It's tough. The Clippers are, for some reason, I just think that they're going to be a dark horse. I mean, I know they're all good, but obviously, the Jazz and the Suns have been the most consistent team all season long. Teams in the West.
Right.
Clippers, for some reason, I just think they can make things happen if Ibaka comes back and they all get healthy.
Yeah, it depends on how they finish. The Lakers are probably more than likely finish five. And if the Clippers stay at four, I think a lot of people want to see the Clippers and Lakers in the first round. I know I'm one of them. That'd be a great first round matchup and a true test for both teams to see who want to come out of the West. Because both those two are favorites to come out of the West, besides Utah and Phoenix, so that'd be a great unexpected first round matchup.
Yeah, I definitely agree. But I mean, I like LeBron, and I don't want the Lakers to face the Clippers right away because I think they need some time to get into their groove because they haven't looked good at all. Schroeder's out for the COVID protocols.
Yeah, for less than 10 days.
Okay, we don't know if LeBron's playing the next two games, right, against the Clippers.
Yeah, he's skipping the Knicks, too. So that's probably two losses,
that's
honestly.
They lose those, too. I mean, against the Blazers, too, they fall down to maybe seven.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's an uphill climb. I mean, that's why, as you said earlier, this whole scenario to play in. It's just crazy, and it's exciting.
Right. Actually, the Blazers can play their way out of the play-in by beating the Lakers. Because, I mean, they're like one game above the Lakers right now in a loss column. So, I mean, if they beat them, then the Lakers in the play-in. I think that's the last thing the Lakers need right now, to be in the play-in with AD not himself and LeBron not 100%. Because that's the game they're going to win. And that's elimination games. Anything can happen. See, LeBron gets hurt. See, LeBron aggravates his ankle at the wrong time in the game. And the other team, say they play Golden State. You know, Curry's on a mission right now. He's on a run. See, LeBron gets hurt in that game. Curry goes off. Lakers are out. Anything can happen. Like, it's crazy.
It's crazy. I know. It's unheard of. And so much for teams chilling. They're taking away teams just chilling and resting their backs. I mean, these are these teams that are fighting for their lives. So, it's fine. Even in the East, man, the Heat were in the finals last year. Right now, we're fighting for their lives, too. To stay out of the play-in. So, you know, anything can happen with Westbrook and his Wizards right there at the number 10 spot right now. I mean, any of these games.
Jeff, I don't think nobody want to see Bill and Westbrook. They don't. You know, Westbrook on a triple-double mission again. He's like, three from Oscar Robertson now, I believe? Three or four? Maybe three now. It's crazy. It's crazy.
His numbers are off the charts. Crazy. He's
balling,
man.
Definitely. Back to the East, the Sixers, I think they need completely healthy to make a run to the championship. But that match up between the Nets and possibly the Bucks is going to depend on how far the Sixers go, essentially. Because I think they match up better with the Bucks than they do with the big three the Nets have, because of all the firepower the Nets have. Because all three of the big three can go off at any given moment for 40 a game. And as I say repeatedly, there's not going to be a single game where all three of the big three are off. You're going to have a rare game where all two of the three are off. And all three are on, that's a good 80 points between the three of them alone. You have Joe Harris in the corner waiting. You have Blake Griffin off the bench. I mean, you have Green come off the bench. They're going to be a tough out if they're clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah, I absolutely agree there. I think if you're the Nets, though, as we talked about earlier, they probably would need to get James Harden back and get some flow. I mean, I think that's one thing Coach Steve Nash pointed out, where they really struggled compared to the Bucks and have the continuity of playing together for so long. I mean, if the Nets ends up facing the Heat in the first round without James Harden, the Heat, I'd say, has a fighter's chance against them. But yeah, going back to the Sixers, I definitely think they have the pieces to make a run. I think them finishing number one would be huge. The Nets and the Bucks kind of tire each other out in the previous round before getting the conference finals. But Joel Embiid has been great. Tobias Harris has had a great year. And now you have Ben Simmons kind of doing everything. He's been a great defender. I think with Ben Simmons, Danny Green, and Harris, and maybe even Thibel off the bench, I think they have pieces that can actually kind of defend the Nets somehow.
Right.
And I just think Embiid has no matchup in the East. I mean, nobody can stop him. But so it might boil down to how guys like Harris and Simmons support him.
Right.
Like you said, the Nets, you know those three guys are going to erupt anytime. I mean, Middleton sometimes has those great games. I mean, for the Sixers, Embiid doesn't get no help. If Simmons is going to be inconsistent, if Tobias Harris doesn't play as well as he's been playing,
that'd
be tough. But I'm liking the Sixers right now.
Definitely. And you're absolutely right. No one in the East can check Joel Embiid. He's going to get his points. He's going to be the one X factor no one can stop. If you double-team him, you have shooters out there waiting with Seth Curry. I mean, Furkan. Like, you can't double anybody on the Sixers instantly either. So that's going to be a great matchup. Great matchup.
Well, I mean, I think the East is only going to be three teams, the Nets, the Bucks, the Sixers, but they're going to be there. I'd be really surprised if the Heat somehow come out of it, but if they face a hobbled Brooklyn Nets in the first round, who knows? But out West that's crazy. You got so many teams that could really make or buy.
Definitely. So LaMelo Ball got hurt and came back, and in my eyes, he just wrapped up Rookie of the Year. I know you've seen the last two games. His passing vision is ridiculous. It's ridiculous. I think he flashed up the Rookie of the Year. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I thought before he got hurt, for sure he was a lock.
Right.
Him missing those games, I mean, now it's a bit tough. Edwards had a great, really great game today. 40-point performance.
Right.
42-7-6. 17 out of 22. 8 three-pointers. He was great. I think he's the only guy who maybe has an outside chance. I mean, his numbers are like 19 points, close to 5 rebounds and 3 assists.
Right.
But to me, man, I mean, LaMelo Ball has made the Hornets a playoff team, and I think that's a big difference. So I'd still give Ball the edge, especially if he puts up decent numbers,
yeah,
at the very least the last 6 games of the Hornets. But, yeah, to me, he still is probably the Rookie of the Year. So you think he's the Rookie of the Year too, right?
Yes. Yeah, I also think they're going to be a tough out in the play-in. They're locked into the play-in tournament. Like I said, it's like maybe 5-6 games left in one season. They're going to be a tough out also. Head of Miles Bridges is a great connection. They're like the new LeBron James and Dwayne Wade as far as connecting on the court. Their chemistry on the court is ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, my only problem is the Hornets, well, obviously they're still missing Hayward. So we don't know when he's going to be back.
Very true.
Bridges is just out for – he just entered the league's protocol. So
yeah.
I don't know how long he'd be out for. Hopefully it's not COVID or, I mean, just exposure. So I don't really know what's going on. But without him and Hayward, I think that'd be tougher than that.
Definitely. So who's your own championship pick? I think it depends on who comes out of the East and the West. But hypothetically, if we get what we want, the Nets and the Lakers – completely healthy, I have to go with the Nets because they have Harden back in the big three. But I think the Lakers' health is the biggest X factor right now because LeBron even came out and said he's not going to be 100% healthy the rest of his career because Father Time is undefeated. It looks like it's finally getting to LeBron. When you're 18, he's still going strong. But I think health, if I don't think either one of him or AD is going to be completely healthy. And it's like I said, if Harden can come back for the last two series and be healthy for the finals, that's going to be the biggest X factor. Because I think if you get Harden on the final stage and he gets there for the first time, he might be MVP of the finals.
That's very possible. I like that. To me, the East is the Nets or the Sixers. Maybe the Nets have the same slight edge, but it all depends on how Harden will come back. But I do really like the Sixers. I think they may make it. In the West, for some reason, I just don't think – I really could be wrong. As well as the Jazz and the Suns are playing, I still don't think they can beat the Clippers and the Lakers. I don't know if it's – for me, looking at the Clippers, if it's because I just think too highly of Paul George and Kawhi, but I think they – I like the DeMarcus Cousins pickup. For some reason, he's playing well right now. He's been doing well, so he can give them maybe another dimension. The Lakers, I mean, going back to your points, they're absolutely valid. I just don't know if LeBron will be healthy and AD,
right,
missing all this time, and he gets back in his playoff time. So if they face a tough matchup in the first round, they could be bounced right away. I could be wrong, but just watching on television, I think this center issue, having three centers is a bit of a problem. Number one, I think Drummond hasn't exactly been playing that well. I mean, he's maybe a classic case of a guy who's been putting up great numbers for historically bad teams, I guess.
Right.
You can kind of see now, the spotlight more on him. He doesn't finish that well around the basket. And now people are saying, hey, well, Gasol gives them better spacing.
Right.
So it's like, and then sometimes when they want to play the two bigs, the two centers against the bigger teams, like what we saw against the Nuggets when the Lakers played them last weekend, Montrez has to sit on the bench. I don't know how he is as a player, as a teammate, if he's a guy who's going to be sulky or be unhappy. Although, I mean, I see him cheering on television, but that dude wants to play for sure. He was sixth man of the year. He didn't come in to play 10 minutes a game. So I don't know how they'd accept the roles if it were to be diminished, because let's not forget, sometimes Vogel probably would want to put AD at the 5 spot too. So I think that three-headed monster might be a bit of an issue too. I mean, just looking at the chemistry side, I could be completely wrong. This is just like no information. Just watching them on television. But
right.
if if they somehow get healthy and they figure out maybe the last 4 or 5 games, I mean, assuming LeBron misses these 2 games and get a groove, I think he's agreed because he said he'd like to see a Nets Lakers final. But they still may be the team to beat in the West, no matter where they finish in the standings.
Very true. Very true. And we saw what Denver did to the Lakers and Clippers messed up last year. We might not get to see the Lakers and the Nets in the finals. They got to play the game. That's what it comes down to. We all can make guesses and analyze things, but we all know the unknown happens when you get on the court. And I really believe, honestly, the Lakers need to avoid the play-in tournament above all costs. Because like I said, you'll need LeBron going against, say, Steph Curry and then Damian Lillard to get out of the play-in, then got to possibly meet, Kawhi Leonard or Nikola Jokic or Utah. Like, that's going to be a lot of miles on an extra season that he don't need.
Yep. So this stretch is crucial for them. They're facing 4 playoff teams, and the Clippers, the Blazers, the Suns, and the Knicks before they end with the Houston, Indiana, New Orleans. But, if LeBron even plays, if he can just play against Portland and they beat Portland, I think that gives them enough breathing room to get away from the play. But, that's all a big deal.
Yeah.
So they can win without him, although they did look okay in that game against Denver. They actually looked really good,
right,
to be honest.
Definitely. Yeah, the Lakers' last 5 or 6 games are very crucial to their seeding, definitely. Charles, thank you so much for your time. We'll definitely do this again. I'll definitely talk back in the future. Thank you for your time.
I would love to. Yeah, I had fun talking to you, John. Thank you for inviting me.
Yes,
I'm looking forward to the next time.
Yes, enjoy the rest of your day. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you.
Yes, that was CNN Philippines anchor, basketball coach, Charles Tu. Catch you next time.